School is in session with Basketball U. Welcome to your study time for the world of college hoops. Now, here are your professors, Tyler Rocky and Shane Orley on ESPN 1000.
Happy Hoops Day to all. It's Basketball U here on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Tyler Rocky with you. Usually going to be talking some college hoops with my guy, Shane Norling. Unfortunately, Shay, a little under the weather today. Might just be playing a little CBB hooky today as the season opens up and we are ready and rearing to go. We've got a huge, huge year on the way in college basketball. So much change, but also a lot of things staying the same in the world of college basketball that I think is going to make for a very entertaining year. A couple of overarching things that I'll get into as we go through this show today. I'll get you my top 12. I did this last year. Tyler's top 12. I'm also going to give you my top five players in the country as well, kind of my All-American team for the year. Five teams that I think can take a leap from last year, five teams that are bound to regress, and also just five other ancillary things that I'm looking for as well. So, lots to get to here, but let's start with my top 12. You know, before I get into this dozen teams here that I think can really, really put on a good show here for college basketball. Remember how crazy last year's NCAA tournament was? Like, we had one of the biggest upsets in tournament history. We had a Final Four that was quote-unquote bad for the ratings. And, you know, I mean, you look at some of the numbers, and they were not what we're used to from a college basketball standpoint. And just you look at some of the teams that were there, just unorthodox teams. You had Miami. You had UConn, who's you see quite a few times in the Final Four, your ultimate champion, Florida Atlantic. And, of course, you also had San Diego State, who was a part of the mix as well in the Final Four last season. I don't think we're going to get the same level of weird this year. I don't think we're going to get to that point with our Final Four. Just looking and diving into everything for this year, it feels like we'll get a little more normalcy when we get into the NCAA tournament ultimately, and then also you get into the other stuff with the Final Four and your Sweet 16s. I think we're going to get back to a little more sense of normalcy. But here we go. My top 12 teams for this upcoming college basketball season. Let's start with number 12 and work our way up. And at number 12, we find the Texas A&M Aggies. This was a team that really came on strong at the end of the year. A very quiet 15-3 finish in the SEC. They made it to the SEC championship game before losing to Alabama. They were a sneaky, fantastic team last year, and they bring back a ton of production, including a guy who I really like this year, Wade Taylor IV. He's going to be a guy that's going to be in the All-American mix there. Don't be surprised if this Texas A&M team wins the SEC, an SEC that I think might be a little down this year, and they're going to do it with defense. This is Buzz Williams' fifth year with the Aggies, and it might be the best team he's ever had, too. So I think you're going to see a more balanced approach. They're going to bring the defense, though, every single night. And that we know how in college basketball that travels. And I don't think there's the buzzsaws in the SEC like we saw last year with a team like Alabama. So my number 12 team is Texas A&M. On to number 11 is where we find the newest member of the AAC. And that is the Florida Atlantic Owls, the last year's darling, who went into the NCAA tournament in a great 8-9 matchup that it honestly felt like a crime that we were getting that in the first round. So between Memphis and FAU, now you get FAU coming off of the Final Four. There's expectations. And you look at it now, you're transferring conferences, you're moving out of Conference USA and checking in to the AAC. But the AAC isn't the conference that it used to be because they're losing a couple of their powerhouses, notably Houston, who has moved on to the Big 12. So you're going to see a little bit of a shake of the stick here, I think, in the AAC. And don't be surprised if the new team in the conference is the one that comes out on top. A couple of notable things about FAU. They bring back pretty much everyone from that team, that darling team from a season ago. Elijah Martin, John L. Davis, Nick Boyd, Vlad Golden, all those guys are back. And it was a group that functioned really well together last year, so don't be surprised. You may see some hiccups in the regular season, but no moment is going to be too big for them over the course of the year. Not too worried about FAU. As we move to number 10, this is where I think you get a little bit of an interesting team, and that's Arizona, the Arizona Wildcats. I'm a huge fan of their head coach, Tommy Lloyd. He has done a fantastic job of retooling and rebooting this program every single year that he's been there. He uses the portal. He's great in recruiting. He does a lot of international recruiting as well. For those who don't know or don't remember, Tommy Lloyd was the head assistant at Gonzaga under Mark Few for the longest time. And part of what made Tommy Lloyd so good was he was the cog that kind of got all of those international recruits and really helped that team. Think of guys like Joel Ayayi and Rui Hachimura. Like, his ability to go out and get international players was something that was really important, really impactful. They do have a pair of freshmen from Lithuania this year as well. But the big thing for me is the portal and what Tommy Lloyd was able to go out and get in the portal. You bring in a couple of guys with Final Four experience, Keshad Johnson from San Diego State, and the big one is Caleb Love from UNC, one of the most polarizing players in all of college basketball. But here's what I'm thinking for Caleb Love this year. You know, a guy that I like to comp Caleb Love to is Marcus Carr. And what Marcus Carr did at Minnesota, he was known as this free-playing gunslinger, and then he transferred to Texas, and as he got older and older, became more dependable and became a really good player for the Texas Longhorns down the stretch and was a big part of some really good Texas teams. I think Caleb Love can replicate that with Arizona. A change of scenery, I think, is going to really benefit him. So that's why I'm checking in Arizona at number 10. Also, they bring back a number of key pieces as well. Pell Larson, Omar Ballou is probably one of the top 10, 15 players in the country as well. So this is a really loaded roster once again for the Arizona Wildcats and a Pac-12 that I think is down this year too. So you could see them put up a really high win total this year. Would not be shocked if they're a team that goes out and ends up winning 28 to 30 games again for this Arizona Wildcats team. On to number 9 is where we find the reigning champions, and that is the UConn Huskies. So lots to be made about what is exported out of UConn. You lose Adama Sanogo. He's now a member of your Chicago Bulls. You lose Jordan Hawkins, who was one of the best players offensively for that team, a really good three-point shooter. You lose Andre Jackson, who was one of the best defensive players and kind of a glue guy for that team as well. But you still bring in a number of really important pieces, notably the transfer from Rutgers, Cam Spencer, averaged 13 points a game last year. But this is something that I think is going to be a real differentiating factor across the board for the teams that can rebound and kind of build off of what they did last year and what maybe will lead for some teams to struggle from their performances last year. Remember, UConn went on an unprecedented run as a 4 seed to the Final Four because of the way that they won their games. They were blowing out teams left and right as they were on their way to cutting down the nets at the end of the season. But the big one for me is how they're replacing some of these guys. And one guy that I think can make a significant leap this year is Donovan Clingan. I'll tell you a little bit more about him as I get into my top 5 players, because he is going to be in my top 5 players list. 7'2", sophomore center. He's going to be the one taking over for Adama Sanogo. He played a pivotal role last year in their run to the Final Four and to the championship as well. So I'll tell you a little bit more about Donovan Clingan as I dive into it. But this is a team that I think replenished a lot of three-point shooting with Cam Spencer. You also have Alex Caravan, who was a solid piece of what you did last year as well. And you bring in some talented freshmen, too. So I've got UConn, your defending champions, checking in at number 9. My number 8 team is the Marquette Golden Eagles. They also bring back a lot from last year's team, a team that was upset in the second round of the NCAA tournament to Michigan State. And it's been my big knock on Shaka Smart. In the last decade, he's won one tournament game, and it came in this most recent tournament against Vermont as a 15 seed. So you only lose Omax Prosper. And I think that's important because you bring back one of the best guards. You know what? No, not one of. The best guard in all of college basketball, and Tyler Kolek. He's back with your team. You bring it back Oso Igodoro as well, David Joplin, Cam Jones, Stevie Mitchell. Like, that is a starting five that is very, very enviable across the board. Only losing one starter from a season ago. So I'm really excited once again for what this team can be. It's just going to be, can Shaka get over the tournament hump? Everyone likes to throw the VCU runs in your face, but they haven't won anything since then. He has not won anything since then. He has a single tournament win against the 15 seed. Can he do it in this year's tournament? I'm going to be in wait-and-see mode, but from a regular season standpoint, Shaka's fantastic. He won Big 12s at Texas. He won the Big East, a double dip last year in the Big East with the regular season and also the Big East tournament. So can Shaka get it done in the real tournament now? That remains to be seen. On to number 7, and that is where we find Tennessee, a team that loses some production from last year, but this is a team that's predicated on defense and physicality, and we saw that last year. So losing guys like Olivier Nkemoa and Julian Phillips, like, and Tyreek Key, like, and Uroš Plavić, like, sure, it's important, it hurts, but you're also allowing for some really talented players to kind of rise up here. One name that in particular is interesting to me is Josiah Jordan-James, former 5-star once upon a time, really heralded recruit, but really hasn't found his groove in college quite yet. But he's there for his 5th year. And then you bring back some really important guards, Zakai Ziegler, Santiago Vescovi, some of those guys dealing with injuries last year too, that really kind of capped the ceiling of what this team can be. But from an SEC standpoint, from a regular season standpoint, I would not expect this team to lose many games in the regular season. I think this could be a team. They do go to Maui, and I will talk a little bit about Maui later on. But they do go to Maui, but this is a team that could probably win 27 or so games this year. All right, on to number 6, and it is one of the teams that was a 1 seed last year. They're making the leap to the Big 12 now, and that is the Houston Cougars. And Kelvin Sampson is one of my favorite coaches in the entire country. I think he's done a fantastic job with this team. But they do lose some really talented guys, including their senior point guard, Marcus Sasser. You also lost Tremont Mark and Jairus Walker, but you're bringing in LJ Cryer, who I think is a very important piece. He's a transfer from Baylor, super talented guy, senior this year. He's a guy who shoots about 42% from three, and they're a team that needs to replenish some of their three-point shooting after losing a guy like Marcus Sasser. And the defensive identity is always going to be there. You've got some depth as well on this team that I'm excited about. You're getting second and third years out of guys like Terrence Arsenault, who was he started the season pretty strong, kind of faded towards the end. And then Ramon Walker. I really like this team still. They're going to play hard-nosed defense. They play in a really competitive Big 12. So give me the Houston Cougars as your number 6 team in the country. On to number 5, the most disappointing team in the country last year, but a team that is out for revenge. It is the Purdue Boilermakers. Finished first in the Big Ten, won the Big Ten tournament. And I look at this Purdue team as a growing process. You know, they had young guards last year. Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, very young guards that I think were just kind of learning their way, both freshmen last year, learning their way through college basketball. You bring back Zach Edey, the reigning player of the year, and you bring in more experience with Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer. And I think this can be a team that's really good. They're Final Four level good, and it's because of the guards. Zach Edey sets your floor, but it's the guards that set the ceiling. And I think Lawyer and Braden Smith, they'll still have some of those younger moments, but they're not freshmen anymore. And I think that is very, very important for this Purdue team heading in to this upcoming season. All right. My 4th team, that is the Creighton Blue Jays. I love this Creighton team. I loved them last year. I love them once again this year. They did lose Ryan Nemhard and Arthur Kaluma. Kaluma to the NBA, Nemhard to the portal. And I think that they are still in a very good spot. You bring in Steven Ashworth, a transfer from Utah State, who is an absolute marksman, senior guard. I like Trey Alexander's game a lot. He's a good shooter. And then one of my favorite players in the entire country is Baylor Shireman. And he can shoot the ball. He can distribute the ball. He can rebound. He's just a big guard at 6'7". There's a lot that he can do on the floor. And they also have a potential All-American guy as well in this team, on this team, and Ryan Kalkbrenner, their center, who saw a much bigger role for this last season. A team that got to the Elite Eight was a call away from getting to the Final Four, quite frankly, too. So I really like this Creighton team. I like their ceiling. I think they are Final Four, maybe even National Championship level good as well. Number 3 out of the Big Ten is the Michigan State Spartans, returning Tyson Walker. He's been in college forever. He's one of those guys. But also have A.J. Hogard coming back, Malik Hall, and one of the more intriguing players in the conference as well. Actually, a couple from the freshman ranks here. Cohen Carr, super athletic swingman for this team, 6'7", and also you bring in Xavier Booker as well. This is a really good freshman class. But the same thing with Tom Izzo. He didn't hit the portal. He's just trying to build the program. And he didn't lose anyone to the transfer portal, which if you're not losing guys to the transfer portal, I don't think it's that big of a deal if you don't bring in a lot from the transfer portal as well, because you're building continuity. This is one of those teams that's going to have a ton of continuity. You lose Joey Hauser, really good shooter, but you still have plenty of shooting production on this team. I think Michigan State is a team that is headed to the Final Four. Then we go to number two, the Kansas Jayhawks. They got the biggest portal win of the offseason by bringing in Hunter Dickinson. You are losing two extremely talented players, Jalen Wilson, your best player, as well as Grady Dick, who goes to the NBA as well. So you're losing a lot, but you're bringing in the biggest name from the transfer portal, an All-American, pretty much a unanimous All-American, I'd imagine, but in Hunter Dickinson coming over from Michigan. So you still have Daywon Harris, redshirt junior, a point guard who's won an NCAA tournament before, and you have a super athletic forward in KJ Adams. I really like Kevin McCullough all the way back from his days at Texas Tech. I think this is a team that also bringing in some good freshmen as well is primed for a really big season once again with Bill Self, a team that was a little bit of a disappointment after their exit in the second round to Arkansas. And my number one team in college basketball this year is the Duke Blue Devils. They are a wagon for this year. Sure, you lose some production like Derek Lively, like Derek Whitehead, Jacob Grandison from a season ago, and you didn't hit the portal. But you didn't need to hit the portal if you're Duke and if you're John Shire, because what you bring in one of the best recruiting classes. But for Duke, their portal was getting guys that you thought were going to the NBA to come back to college. Tyrese Proctor, Kyle Filipowski, even a guy like Jeremy Roach. Those were guys that I think Duke and John Shire thought were good as gone. And the fact that they are coming back for another season of college basketball is everything that this team needs. They were a good team last year. I know the seeding wasn't great. I believe they were a 4 seed last year, and then you lose to Tennessee in the second round of the tournament there. But this Duke team is head and shoulders above everyone else in the ACC. I think we're going to be looking at one of the best Duke teams in recent memory. This team is that good, and it's because it's built on experience. How often, we haven't been able to say that Duke's been built on experience very much as of late, but this is one of those Duke teams that certainly is and has a super high floor, and they are my national championship pick for 2024. All right, so those are my top 12 teams there. Texas A&M, FAU, Arizona, UConn, Marquette, Tennessee, Houston, Purdue, Creighton, MSU, Kansas, and Duke. On to my top 5 players, some of which I've already hit on here. I like Zach Edey as one of my All-Americans. I also like Hunter Dickinson, Kyle Filipowski from Duke, Tyler Kolick out of Marquette, and Donovan Klingon. I would just want to highlight Donovan Klingon real quick, because Klingon, I think, is on the Zach Edey trajectory here. You know, Zach Edey, early in his career, he was a mammoth of a man, but he was sitting behind Travion Williams at Purdue. Kind of similar to Donovan Klingon. Huge player, more traditional type center, but he can also step out and shoot a little bit too. But he was behind Adama Sanogo. I think we see Donovan Klingon take the same leap we saw Zach Edey take at Purdue, but this time Klingon does it at UConn. I am really intrigued with what, and he was a guy who a lot of people thought might go to the NBA, decides to keep his name in college, and he could end up being a lottery pick next year. So Donovan Klingon is one of the guys that I'm really looking forward to watching for this upcoming season. Here's 5 teams that I think can take a leap this year, all right? St. John's, obviously you bring in Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino does his work in the transfer portal as well, but St. John's, this was a team that finished 7-13 in the Big East, did not play in the postseason. You lose pretty much your entire roster, but you also bring in an entire roster as well. And if there's anyone that can scrap together transfers and freshmen, it is Rick Pitino. I'm counting it up right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 new players. He basically did what Deion Sanders did in college football and overhauled the roster. The difference, though, is that he is overhauling guys from power conferences and even from a national championship team a year ago as well, whereas you had Dion who was doing it from the FCS level. Rick's not getting D2 guys. He's not getting low-level guys from college. He is getting the best of the best, and he's going to do a great job this year. Really looking forward to what he can do and how he's going to revive the Big East. Another team that I mentioned earlier out of the SEC, it's Texas A&M. Just the continuity there. And you may be saying, oh, they were 15-3 in conference. How are they going to take a leap? This is a team that I think now takes the next step into being a top 3 or 4 seed in college basketball. That's the leap I'm looking for out of Texas A&M. Another team that I think will take a leap this upcoming season is USC. You bring back Boogie Ellis for a fifth year, but you did a lot of work as well in the portal, as well as some work with your recruiting class too. So it's a really, really good group for Andy Enfield, who, believe it or not, is in his 11th season now at USC. But this team could make the surprising run. They've got, like I mentioned, Boogie Ellis. He's got the veteran backcourt, and he's also got the number one player in the country in Isaiah Collier coming to his program as well. So Ellis, the experienced one, and then Collier, the guy who is uber-talented, oozes talent. The one question that people may be wondering is like, oh, where's the Bronny James love? Bronny James is going to be a solid sixth man of the year on this team if he is healthy to go. Remember, he had the heart scare earlier. He hasn't really participated in much this season in the preseason, but Bronny James is on this roster. And there's a lot of guys that I really like. Bringing in DJ Rodman from Washington State, I think, is an underrated transfer. Guy who can shoot the three, can give you some quality minutes. I really like this USC team. I think they take a nice little leap here. Another team out of the Pac-12 that I think can take a leap is Colorado. And Tad Boyle now, in his 14th season, this was an NIT team last year. I think it would be a failure if this team does not make the NCAA tournament this upcoming season. This is a team that, don't be surprised if they contend to win the Pac-12 this upcoming season. They bring in Eddie Lampkin. Remember, he was a little disgruntled at the end of his time at TCU. He's a really, really strong player. I like him a lot. And then you bring back guys like KJ Simpson, Tristan Da Silva, both guys with all Pac-12 potential, and in Da Silva's case, maybe even all American potential as well. He might have to get some of those rebounding numbers up, but I like this team a lot. Very, very experienced team. A lot of juniors, a lot of seniors on this team. Not just in the starting lineup, but in your first seven. So you've got experience on this team. I think that this is a team that can contend to win the Pac-12 this upcoming season. And then my last team that I'm looking to take a leap this year, my Syracuse Orange might have the best backcourt in the country with J.J. Starling and returner Judah Mintz. Starling coming over in a transfer from Notre Dame. The one problem with them is the three-point shooting isn't great on this Syracuse team. That's going to be something that needs to take a significant leap for this upcoming season. But Red Autry hit the portal hard for this upcoming season. Brings in J.J. Starling, brings in Chance Westry, a former five-star guy, brings in Naheem McLeod, a guy who's the tallest player in Syracuse history at 7'4". Kyle Cuff, junior, coming in as well from Kansas to be a backup guard for this team. I think there's a lot to like. There's a very experienced team. And by the way, they are playing man-to-man defense this year as well. So a lot of changes coming in Central New York, notably the end of the run for Jim Boeheim after 50-plus years as a member of the Syracuse coaching staff. This is a team that has been in a big-time drought now from the NCAA tournament. They got to get back there. This could be the year. If things break right with what they brought in the transfer portal, I like the Syracuse team to finish potentially in the top four in the ACC and maybe even be a top 25 team by the end of the year. Couple teams that I think can regress now. I gave you five teams to take a leap, five teams that I think can regress for this upcoming season. We'll start in the SEC, and that is Alabama. I've been a huge Nate Oates fan the last couple of years, but I think there's just too many moving parts this time around. I like Aaron Estrada, who they brought in as a grad transfer out of Hofstra. I believe he began his career at Oregon, then went to Hofstra, and now is at Alabama. So I like him as a guard, a lead guard, averaged over 20 points per game last season. But I just don't know if the freshman class is there. This team doesn't have a ton of experience. I know their starting lineup does, but they don't have a lot of ton of experience playing together. And you look at the roster right now, you've got only 5 guys on the entire roster that average more than 10 minutes per game last year. And that kind of scares me with this team. They don't have the Brandon Miller from last year. They don't. And they don't have a steadying force in a guy like Javon Quinterly, who's transferred out as well. So I'm a little sheepish on this Alabama team. I think they take a significant step back after winning the SEC and looking like the best team in all of college basketball last year for a stretch. Another team that I think takes a step back, no surprise here, but UCLA. And it's not that I don't like UCLA and Mick Cronin and all that. You just lost so much. You lost so much. You lose Jaime Jaquez. He was your best player. You lose Tiger Campbell. He was one of the best guards in the country. You lose Jalen Clark. He was arguably the best defensive player in the country. And you lose Amari Bailey, who was a really rock solid freshman for you last year as he left for the NBA. It's just too much turnover, too much inexperience. I think this team takes a step back here. Here's a big one for a lot of people, and that is the Gonzaga Bulldogs. It just doesn't feel like they have the same talent that they've had in recent years at the guard position, where have you. You lose Drew Timmy, you lose Julian Strother, you lose Rasir Bolton. You bring in Ryan Nemhard, who I like. Remember, Andrew Nemhard did some good things for this program, too. But I don't see it happening with this Gonzaga team here. I think that, actually, this is the year that St. Mary's wins the regular season and the WCC tournament as well. So I like St. Mary's to take care of business there. I think that we'll see a significant step back from Gonzaga. Another team, Kansas State. Just lost too much. I love Jerome Tang as a coach. I think he can. I'm hoping I eat my words on this one. This is a team that I really root for. But you lose Marquise Noel, who was the darling of March Madness last year. Keontae Johnson was an All Big 12 player for you too. Like, you just too many pieces that are moving out here. You do bring in Arthur Kaluma from Creighton, which I think is a very important transfer there. But I do think this team takes a slight step back after going to the Elite Eight last season. Last team here, and this is a big one, and this is going to be in one of my 5 burning questions as well, but Kentucky. Kentucky was a team last year that they lose in the second round, but there is so much being left out of this team. You lose Oscar Tshiebwe, a one-time All-American for you. You lose Jacob Toppin. You lose Kaysen Wallace, who I think is a huge loss. Good 3-point shooter, excellent defender, guy who kind of played both ends of the floor. A lot coming out of this program. You do have the number one recruiting class in all of college basketball coming in. Bring in Aaron Bradshaw. You bring in Robert Dillingham. You bring in DJ Wagner. You bring in Justin Edwards as well. Lots of really good players coming into this program. But in a year where I think Cal needs stability, he's not going to get it. And I think it's going to be a real rough ride for Kentucky this year. Even though they may have one of the most talented teams on paper, I don't know if it's going to actually play out that way when we get to the season. Here are some other things, 5 other storylines I'm watching out of this season. And that is, let's start with Louisville and Kenny Payne. It was a disaster in year 1, finishing last in the ACC, 2-18, 4-28 on the season. And you lose a lot of players. You're relying on a lot of transfers, some guys that were just kind of all over the place transfers for you this season. And I don't know what Kenny Payne's going to do if he can survive this season. You lost to a D2 school in the preseason as well. Whew. I am really, really scared for this Louisville team. But maybe Kenny Payne can right the ship, because he's going to have to figure it out this year. Or otherwise, I think that'll be the end of Kenny Payne. Another storyline that I'm looking for in this upcoming season is the Big East coaching musical chairs. Lot of new faces and new places in the Big East. So we'll start with the big one, and that is Ed Cooley moving from Providence to Georgetown. A very, very contentious move, one that was met with a lot of heat when it happened. Ed Cooley coming back to Providence is going to be interesting, because he built that program back up, and I think it's going to be a very hostile return to Rhode Island for Ed Cooley when that happens. How did Providence replace him? They bring in Kim English, who did a really nice job at George Mason. I think this is a great addition to the conference from a coaching standpoint here. And then, of course, there is Rick Pitino coming back to the Big East. So I'm excited to see what Slick Rick brings to the table here with St. John's. I think that is going to be interesting. And then also a couple of the other guys that are just back too. It's like you got guys like Sean Miller at Xavier, and also Kyle Neptune in another year at Villanova. A lot of interesting coaches. And of course, you've got the reigning champs as well. So I think it's a really, really interesting team or a really interesting coaching layout in the Big East for this year. I brought up Kentucky. I think Cal's seat is really heating up. I really do. You look at the success that they have. They haven't won big tournament games and gotten to the second weekend in quite some time now. And that is the expectation. The problem is he's got a lifetime contract. So I don't know how do they have to kill him? Is that how they get rid of Coach Cal? But they need to get back into having tournament success. They have not come into a season with a fresh off of an NCAA tournament win in quite some time now. So we'll see what happens with Coach Cal, but this team, the average age of this team is 19, and I don't know if I like that for a year when you need stability, kind of like what I was saying earlier. I brought up St. Mary's when I was talking about Gonzaga. I really do think this is St. Mary's year to make some noise in the WCC. I think they can win both the conference as well as the tournament this year, that being the WCC tournament. Randy Bennett is the only reason he doesn't get the headlines is because Mark Few is in the same conference. But he has done a lot of the same with this St. Mary's team. Aiden Mahaney is one of the best players in college basketball. He was a freshman last year, sophomore this year, shot 40% from three in his freshman campaign, averaged about 14 points per game. He's kind of the do-it-all guy and is the best player in the conference. I think St. Mary's is due for a big year this year. Usually not a big St. Mary's guy, but this is one that I really like. And then my last storyline that I'm looking for this year is one that, you know, it's a very like kind of fleeting thing. It comes by here and there really quick, but it is the Maui Invitational this year. What a loaded field that we have for the upcoming Maui Invitational. Of course, Chaminade's in, and we'll skip by that one. But here's your field, all right? You've got Kansas, Marquette, Purdue, Tennessee, UCLA, Gonzaga, and Syracuse. That is as good of an 8-team field as we've seen in a preseason tournament as any that we have ever seen. You've got 6 teams in the top 25, a Syracuse team that I think could be top 25 level good, and you just have to throw Chaminade in there because they host the tournament. I think this is a fantastic feeling. It's going to make for a great Thanksgiving week festivities, that feast week, one of my favorite weeks of the year in college basketball. So looking forward to that. I think it is going to be an absolute doozy. It is the best field we have ever seen for a preseason tournament. I'm saying it right now. All right, that's going to do it for us here, giving you your little college basketball preview. Hoping to talk through some of it as well with Shane Norling. I'm going to be in attendance at the Barstool Invitational this week, taking place at Wintrust. So hopefully I can see some of you guys out there. Looking forward to all of that. It's going to be a great field too. Loyola and FAU kick things off. Loyola, I think, is going to be a little bit better out of the A-10. After finishing last in the A-10 last year, in their first year in the conference, I think they take a little leap here. And going up against FAU, of course, a team in the Final Four last year. And then the nightcap, Arizona State and Mississippi State. So it should be a great one over at Wintrust. Hope to see some of y'all out there for the Barstool Invitational. All right, that's going to do it for us. I'm going to check in with you guys every single week. Hopefully I've got Shane Norling along for the ride as well, as a part of it too. So looking forward to all that. Happy hoops to all, and we will talk to you next week.